is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Well,
next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to August 4th in particular. Hope you're having a great day. We've got an awful lot to cover today. We have a ton of stuff to go through. All to do with this wonderful COVID journey that we're on. We're going to focus more on what's in the jab, and hopefully we'll remember to call it a jab and not something else so we don't get identified. However, we're going over lots of stuff to do with patents, to do with what's in, to do with what was programmed, all that kind of stuff. Oh, hopefully we'll get through all today. Nicole, I think, has posted, if not, she'll be posting it shortly. So if you need to go back to it, I do have lots of references in there for you as well. Two in particular that are really great, and I'll identify them as we go along. So we said a year and a half ago that this supposed COVID thing had something to do with 5G. So that's going to be part of what we're talking about today. There are a lot of different theories, and even more has come to light recently. So we're going to look at it. One thing I'm going to start off with is actually Dr. David Martin. I enjoy listening to him. He's very organized, very thorough. He does patent testing or exploration analysis, and he also does a whole bunch of other stuff. He's terrific. So we mentioned a number of weeks ago that he had presented a beautiful scenario that the DNA model that Crick and Watson received the Nobel Peace Prize for was actually incorrect, and I just love that. He claimed that he has proven in his laboratory that the DNA helix is not chemically based, but rather vibrationally based. Well, that doesn't seem odd in the light of we're all energetic. Everything we have is energetic. But the fact that it's not chemically based is a different concept than what we're used to. If we go a little deeper, actually, we go into the National Library of Medicine, which I did, U.S. National Library of Medicine, Watson and Crick did not have to conduct any DNA experiments. Sorry, he was, almost sounds like Moderna. Parallel, I'll fill that in. And yet, however, not doing any experiments, DNA experiments, they supposedly discovered the DNA helix in 1952. That sounds rather odd, wouldn't you think? How did they achieve it without any experiments? Now, that's not what I was taught in med school or in naturopathic college. So let's take it a little bit further. I've actually read stories, I can't confirm them, but I have read stories that claim that Crick told his wife, came running into the kitchen supposedly and told his wife of two spirals twisting in opposite directions, and she, being an artist, created an image on paper, and thus the double helix was born. Golly gee whiz, that too bad old science wasn't that simple. That's certainly not what I was taught. Now, as a side note to that, I've also read many times that Crick was a, quote, devoted connoisseur of LSD. He also threw new parties throughout the 50s and 60s. He was quite an interesting character. But my concern, not about the new parties, but rather about the connoisseur of LSD, was it a concept he came up with on one of his trips, LSD trips? Or, conversely, was it something he was familiar with, for instance? The double helix is the staff, or caudicus as it's known, from Hermes, from the Greek mythology. Hermes was identified as the snake god because of the staff of the caudicus he carried. He was also the god that ruled magic. Interesting. I love Greek mythology. I've always enjoyed it. However, the caudicus that Hermes carried was not a single snake. The single snake represented the earth snake, or the mother goddess. The double snake, or the spiral, represented the male and female, and the caudicus itself represented man's evolution. I wonder if Crick was familiar with any of that. But he didn't even have to go into Greek mythology. He could go further. The two circling snakes are not only in Hermes' caudicus, it is also the DNA helix. Of course, it's the DNA helix, and I just don't know why I put that in. It also is seen in the medical icon. It's seen in the subatomic scale. It's a sign of Kundalini as it goes up the chakras through the spine. And in fact, it coils of the entire galaxy. It comes up repeatedly. Whether you're looking at astrophysics, whether you're looking at biology, whether you're looking at mythology, cultural issues, whatever, throughout the world, cultures historically and currently have a representation of this double helix woven in some way, somehow. It could be seen as a spiraling rope, as ladders, as vines, as bridges, a variety of different ways it's portrayed, but it is portrayed in all cultures throughout history. So the fact that Kirk came up with this double helix may have come from an LSD trip. It may have come from his awareness of how many times and ways the helix is woven throughout our cultures throughout history. I don't know. The double helix is also, and this is to me a very important one, although we're not going to go into it, but it is also associated with, oh wow, holy cow. Okay, so why is that all important? Well, according to Dr. Martin, the double helix is not a chemical structure. It is a vibrational frequency. So now I'm going to sidetrack you into Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, who was studying the frequencies of how biological interactions happen since the 80s. I've been following him since the 90s. He's a fascinating character to listen to as well. Entirely different character, but has a huge sense of humor. But Bruce Lipton talked about and showed chemically in his laboratory how compounds did not have to actually physically connect with transport systems across the cellular membrane to get into a cell. So think of a compound on the outside of the cell. There's seven transport mechanisms going into the cell, three different diffusion mechanisms, and that compound has to either traverse the diffusion or a transport system to get into the cell. No way, it doesn't. The vibrational frequency that extends from that compound is sufficient to trigger the receptor. I found that fascinating back in the 90s. I thought that was really cool. So again, traditional, conventional science was shown to be incorrect, and it's this model. I love it when we can actually get beyond models that somebody creatively came up with. But if Dr. Lipton is right, and these things happen on a vibrational frequency, it lends even more support to what Dr. Martin is saying, that the DNA helix is simply a vibrational frequency, or an antenna with another good antenna that deals with vibrational frequencies, not chemical compounds. Okay, so let's take it a little bit further. If this vibrational frequency, this double helix, connects us, as Dr. Martin would say, with the universe or a higher self or the essence of God, or whatever is more religious or esoteric term or cosmic term you might want to use, then we might have a problem if we introduce the compound graphene oxide. It's actually not a compound. I'm not sure. It's a nanoparticle. We've talked about it before. It's two-dimensional, not three-dimensional. And it actually fits inside the lipid molecule, the hydrogel, that is used in all the jabs. Now, what did we talk about with the graphene oxide last week? We showed, talked about, gave you references, all the studies done, on how it interferes with that vibrational frequency that's known as the double helix, or our DNA. Oh, dear. So now, not only do we have the fact that the double helix is not, or the other fact, we've been told that the double helix is a vibrational frequency, just like the rest of our system is, according to Dr. Lipton. And now we have the graphene oxide can distort that double helix, not only in terms of our physiology, but in terms of a higher connection to your higher self, if you want. Okay, so I've given an article that you can look on a more scientific level, how graphene multiplies frequencies, how it damages cells when it's exposed to electromagnetic frequencies. Again, that's the 5G. So when we were talking about COVID-19 back a year and a half ago and suggesting it had something to do with 5G, we just weren't sure what and how. Well, golly gee whiz, maybe that was accurate. I've given you a couple of articles there. Now let's go on. According to Dr. Martin and various others, the SARS-CoV-2 is not novel. This is huge. This is what has been promoted for the last year and a half, is that it's novel. That's what makes it dangerous. According to Dr. Martin, who's gone through, I think I've heard him say he's gone through over 4,000 patents revolving around this COVID-2, it's not novel. It's the same old COVID-1 was a bioweapon targeted for human lung epithelium that Dr. Fauci commissioned through the University of North Carolina to create, and what was actually patented on April 19, 2002, months before what he calls the alleged SARS-1 outbreak in Asia. And I've given you the reference for that. That reference I've given on this ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net is the predominant one I've given you is a discussion. It's about an hour and a half long. It's a discussion between Dr. David Martin and Dr. Rainer Fjellmuth, who is the lawyer who's done the international lawsuit. So they're now working together, and this is awesome. Now, Dr. Martin has raised issues that identify back to 2002, patents back in 2002, supposedly novel. Well, if it's supposedly novel, how come we have patents regarding it? 4,000 different patents, I think, is what I said, back to 2002. Now, in the same interview, he says that Peter Daszak, and you've probably heard that name come up, who is the head of the EcoHealth Alliance, was the person who independently corroborated the Chinese non-lab leak non-theory, because it wasn't a lab leak. It was an intentional bioweapon. So this is a quote from Dr. Martin. Peter Daszak, the head of EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Daszak, the person who was independently corroborating the Chinese non-lab leak non-theory, because there wasn't a lab leak. This was an intentional bioweapon of spike proteins. I'll read that part again. This was an intentional bioweapon of spike proteins to inject into people to get them addicted to a pan-coronavirus. This has nothing to do with a pathogen that was released. And every study that's been ever launched to try to verify a lab leak is a red herring. Unquote. Holy cow. Now, this all gets very interesting when you start looking at all the patents involved in the COVID-19. And I've given you another article here, actually another interview, with Karen Kingston, who was a former Pfizer employee who confirms that the toxins in the COVID injection, i.e. the graphene oxide, is a nanotechnology. It's, even though the quote fact checkers say it's not in there, it actually is in the to inject, and it's a toxin to the body, and she's got all the patents showing it. Now, both these people, Dr. David Martin and Karen Kingston, are great resources for identifying the patents involved, not just in the COVID-19, but the PCR testing for the COVID, the jabs for the COVID, never mind the graphene oxide found in the hydrogel. So if you have time, even just if you're driving along, plug in to either of those references. They give a tremendous amount of information. Like I said, the first one with Dr. Martin is like an hour and a half long. I think the second one that I just gave you with Karen Kingston is about an hour long. And they do a great job of summarizing all kinds of information and pulling together pieces that we've been working with for quite some time. It's nice to have somebody that can bring all these different pieces together. Okay, so let's continue on. I'm going back to the discussion between Dr. Martin and Dr. Rayner. The international German lawyer apparently lives in California right now. He's the one that has all the phenomenal international lawsuits going against everything from WHO to Gates to Fauci to the Imperial College to WHO to the CDC. He has just a beautiful collection of lawsuits going on, and he's actually won some incredible international lawsuits. So we're holding an awful lot for him, hoping that he is able to resolve, bring this all to the surface for everybody and resolve the issues so that we can get back to a brighter, newer kind of, we don't want to do the new normal. The new normal actually was a term that was identified back in 2002 by Fauci, I think, and actually comes from another program even further back from that. But we don't, our new normal is different from what they want as a new normal. Remember, with all the different programs I've given you, our new normal is we want to create a world where there's a higher awareness, higher spiritual connection, higher vibrational rate, higher level of health and awareness and functioning. Their new normal is very different than that. All right, let's get back to the article we wrote. Dr. Martin says that SARS is not an actual progression of the coronavirus. Now, what he's meaning by that is, as we've said many times, viruses mutate. They constantly mutate, some even within 15 minutes, some within a couple hours, couple days, weeks, months, what have you. But because viruses are constantly mutating, one of the reasons they do that is to adapt to our body. They need our cellular functioning. They need our DNA and the tools within our cell, really, so that they can function. So, of course, they're going to adapt. They don't want to kill us off. They want to adapt and adapt. So, you know, when they say, oh, the new variant is more dangerous, it's usually kind of, you know, full of that B. SARS and the COVID is not a natural evolution of the coronavirus. It didn't naturally evolve. He claims that others have, as others have, that in 1999, this is going back a little ways, people, over 20 years, Fauci, who we don't like to begin with, funded research at the Chapel Hill Research Center that was meant to build an infectious replication of the coronavirus. Now, that's an interesting concept in and of itself, because we have seven coronaviruses that live within us. And the coronaviruses have been identified in the medical text since the 1930s. So why do we want to create an infectious replication of the coronavirus? Specifically targeted for the lung epithelium. That's the lining of the lungs. This is where all the blood clots are known. I shouldn't say all of them. But COVID-19 was supposedly so dangerous because it provoked blood clotting in the lungs, and of course it goes from the lungs into the heart, where you can have a heart attack, and then if you don't manage to die from that, good for you. Now it can go to the brain, and it can cross the blood-brain barrier, and it can, or stay in the blood actually, and cause strokes. Well, wow, they want to build an infectious replication of the coronavirus specifically targeted for the lung epithelium. Oh, we got to take a deep breath there. In other words, they made SARS and patented it in 2002. I've even given you the number of the patent. I didn't do that very well, because if I filled this with all the patent numbers, I'd have like pages and pages and pages just of patent numbers. But the patent lays out the gene sequencing for the ACE2 receptor mechanism. Actually, there's 117 patents on the ACE2 mechanism target from 2008 on. The spike one, the S1 spike protein, et cetera, and I forget how many, I think it was 173 patents are on the S1 spike protein, and that's what they're injecting you with, the S1 spike protein. Well, hold on a minute. You don't want to have that. You want to protect yourself against that, but no, they're setting up your cells to be manufacturing plants for it. That's just like, hold on a minute. That goes opposite to protecting us, doesn't it? Okay, so this is not a novel RNA sequence. In fact, the sequence that we're seeing is like 20 years old. The patent allows them, now get this, the patent actually allows them to synthetically modify the mRNA sequence in the laboratory using gene sequencing technology. Now, we've talked about that before in terms of they've pulled out of the gene bank different sequences and put them together. Well, again, this is what Dr. Martin is now saying. Again, we've heard this several times before. Another thing that needs to be recognized is that this technology was initially funded as a means to harness the coronavirus as a vector to distribute in the HIV vaccine. That was done by Fauci. Fauci was the one. Remember the 1992 video I referred to many times? That was another Dr. David. I can't think of what his last name is right now. Dr. David Webb. It'll come to me. He put out a book and did this beautiful video. And surprisingly enough, he died mysteriously 2 weeks later. The hour-long video is all about how Fauci should be hung for crimes against humanity. One of the things he's focusing on is that Fauci claims promoted that HIV caused AIDS. We have four predominant issues that cause autoimmune disorders. Not one of them is HIV. It's never been proven to be HIV, but golly gee whiz, Fauci made millions, if not billions of dollars on that concept that he promoted. And he was trying to use this gene sequencing technology as a vaccine for the HIV to prevent you from getting AIDS. Now, if you listened, what do I say here? If you listen to the videos from 1992, we heard that Fauci was responsible for claiming that HIV caused AIDS. To date, that has never been proven, although there are four main categorical causes of AIDS that are well recognized. But Fauci has made millions over this nonsense that he promoted. Fauci, if you go into the higher echelons of real science, of good science, if you want white science as opposed to black science, you will find that over and over and over again, they want to hang Fauci for crimes against humanity. This comes up repeatedly in the work that I do. Now let's look even further into the patents. Fauci's group not only had complete control over the development of SARS-1, MERS, SARS-2, etc., but over the PCR test used to detect it. Now remember, we know that the PCR test should not have been used clinically. They're for research. Number two, they should not be used for more than 17 cycles. They've been using them for 35. We know that there's upwards of 90% false positive. So the PCR testing shouldn't be used at all. And yet, he is the one who orchestrated, who did the research, who funded the research to get the PCR to test for COVID-19, and did that long before COVID-19 was supposedly around, which now we know wasn't novel in the first place. It was created as well. So they created both the supposed virus and the test to prove it. Holy cow. Does that not think for what? Now, there's a very powerful statement that Dr. Martin makes in the interview with Ringer, is that every statement the CDC has made about what they're doing and is in the public interest is falsifiable. Every statement the CDC has made about what they are doing, that what they are doing is in the public interest, is falsifiable by their own paid bribes to the patent office, and he has all that. And I say, Dr. Rainier, know that he's not a physician. He's a lawyer. He just has a PhD in law. In addition, additional fee bribes were made to keep the patent information private. Now, in essence, you know, you've got some aspects that are allowed to be private and some aspects that aren't. The parts that should be made public were not made public. They were made private. And all of the information is available in the U.S. Patent Office. Now, there's a whole other ballgame if you want to get involved with other, Professor Martin Schwabe, about the European Patent Office, how it was started, how they protected, how there was the cover-up. I mean, that's a whole other mess as well. But apparently so is the U.S. Patent Office that was based on the European one. We won't get into that either today. There's just so much that we could get into. The bottom line is COVID-2 is not this. The gene sequence was patented in 2003, 2005, 2006. There's an overlap of anywhere between 89 and 90% overlap. Now, when they say there's overlap, it's the same sequence. It just depends on where you cut off. So what they're doing is, say the sequence was 100 RNA components long, and you cut it off at 10, and then someone cut it off at 30, and then someone else cut it off at 60. It's the same sequence. You just, your starting place for cutting it off is different, but it's the same thing. Okay. He gave a good example. It's like taking a word out of one book and finding it in all kinds of other books. Same type of thing. Okay, so if we go back to 2003 again, on the 28th of April, 3 days after CDC filed a patent on SARS-1, now notice there's a problem with that as well. You're not even supposed to make patents on something that's natural. That's why pharmaceutical companies, they'll take a natural compound, they'll isolate it, and then they'll make a synthetic version. And that might just mean adding on a carbon or a hydrogen or, you know, an H2O, who knows what, CO2, without doing any research. It's amazing what they're allowed to do. Anyway, the CDC filed a patent on SARS-1, and a pharmaceutical company, which was a sub-company, actually it wasn't a sub-company of Pfizer at that time, but it is now, filed a patent on the treatment 3 days later. So you've got a patent on something that's natural, that is supposed virus, and 3 days later you have a patent on the treatment? Does there not seem to be a little bit of concern about that? In Dr. Martin's words, this is criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. It is evidence. It is a RICO case, R-I-C-O. A RICO case in the U.S. stands for Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. It is a RICO case. Holy cow. SARS-2 was the same thing. The treatment was patented ahead of the supposed virus, which isn't novel, which they claimed it was. Okay, let's continue on. Problem. There we go. Okay, so what we have is, if we look at the specifics, we've talked before about the patents regarding the hydrogel, the luciferase enzyme, the spike protein, all patented years before, the not novel virus was sequenced, patented, and released. 73 patents issued, which have the elements that are the same as a supposed novel COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. The clinically novel contagious virus sequence wasn't at all novel. It had been patented years before and repeatedly. All elements had been, in fact, engineered. COVID had been patented for human and commercial exploitation in 2016, 73 times. Ralph Barrick is the one who's well known for having told the audience that you can make a lot of money doing this. 2015, we have Peter Daszak. Now, Peter Daszak is head of the Equal Health Alliance, and he's noted for establishing the rumor, we said this already, of a lab leak, when in fact there was no leak. It was an, quote, intentional bioweapon of spike proteins to get people addicted to vaccines. And he was quoted as saying, quote, "We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver, we need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process." That was Peter Daszak. Again, we all know this, but just reinforcing, follow the money, honey. It is there. The dirty, the pattern, the road to corruption is there. Another issue is that the patent on the coronavirus was actually transferred from the University of North Carolina, the Chapel Hill Research Center, we've already identified that part, to the National Institutes of Health in 2018. Why would that happen? There's no need for that. As Dr. Martin specifically said, we are injecting a spike protein, mRNA sequence, which is a computer simulation. It is not derived from nature. It is a computer simulation of a sequence which has been known, patented for years. What we know is that the sequence is, as reported, is reported things like the very, we know that the sequence, as reported, due to things like the very reliable phone conversations that took place between Moderna and the Vaccine Research Center by self-report. It's actually acknowledged on the phone calls. It's acknowledged in the patents. It's acknowledged in the emails with Fauci. I mean, the information is all there, people. Okay. Dr. Rayner goes on to talk about how there is no evidence of any pharmaceutical company doing any kind of research to provide anything to combat or protect us from the virus. It is all about injecting people with the S1 spike protein. Of course, on top of all that, we have the whole issue of the graphene oxide that we've talked about both earlier today and last week. Remember, the graphene oxide in the body, along with the fecal tissue and the silicone, can set up magnetics in the body. In fact, graphene oxide, we've talked about before as well, it's even in some food packaging. And the reason they need to keep giving you more and more injections with the graphene oxide is because if you have enough glutathione, and if you've listened to my program for any length of time, you know that's my favorite compound, glutathione will eliminate the graphene oxide out of your body. So they have to keep putting it in, injecting you, which is why you're going to have to get more and more and more and more injections. In fact, they're up to 8 in some research that they've done. Of course, the public is only being told about 2, and now the third one is coming out in the last couple of weeks. But it's nonsense. All nonsense. According to the discussion between Dr. Martin and Dr. Fomich, Moderna knew in March of 2019, this is before coronavirus was ever publicly recognized, they would be front row with regard to the vaccines because they amended a series of patent filings specifically that made specific reference to a, quote, deliberate release of coronavirus. They had a problem because they relied on Canadian technology. Two Canadian companies own the patents on lipid nanoparticle envelope, the lipid nanoparticle envelope that was required to deliver the injection of the mRNA fragment. Moderna also struggled to get the rights and in November entered into an agreement with the Chapel Hill Research to get the spike protein. So they had a vaccine prior to there ever being any public awareness of a supposed novel virus. Get that again. Moderna struggled to get the rights and in November entered into an agreement with the Chapel Hill Research to get the spike protein. So they had a vaccine prior to there ever being any public awareness of a supposed novel virus. So the virus is novel. Vaccine does not meet any clinical, research, legal criterion of any kind for a vaccine, it's a jab. So the jab there was the spike protein that causes damage, that interferes with the DNA helix, that interferes, that causes magnetics in the body that can not only interfere with your pineal gland, but can damage cells and what have you. All this horrible stuff going on. And it's all been established before they released with specific intention. The coronavirus, which was computer simulated. Oh, my goodness. In addition, for years, Fauci had been complaining that he couldn't get universal acceptance of the universal influenza vaccines. He's been trying to get, he owns the patents on them. He's been trying to get everybody to have to take them for years and years and years. Of course, we've been telling everybody, don't do that. That's ridiculous. That sets your system up to be ineffective, incompetent. We want you to have a strong, healthy system, and you know how much we've done on that. But anyways, he needed something else. One of the things was he decided that they had to go after a different virus, not the influenza, that had lost it. You know, they missed the boat, so to speak, on that one because only a few people were willing to take the influenza virus, the annual flu vaccine. So they wanted to try something else. Well, now they're moving, well, they have been. Since 1998, they've been working on the coronavirus. They had it already set up. So Dr. Martin actually reads the letter from the patent office on this interview, and the patent office actually said, this is not a vaccine. A vaccine is supposed to protect. It does not protect you. A vaccine has to have a compound which prevents infection. In fact, it didn't meet the patent office requirements, vaccine requirements, clinical requirements, or legal requirements. Repeatedly, he had, and I don't know how many, I know there were several different patents that Fauci tried to get patented. Move on a little bit further, to get universal adherence to the vaccine that they wanted to inject, they needed public information control. The control they had with the influenza vaccine, the annual flu shot, didn't work. They needed much greater, much more powerful public information, and we know they all got it. The alliance with big tech was easy to achieve, and anything that was actually reliable, that had any validity, that was scientifically grounded, was negated, and the public fear-mongering started. The public was taught to believe that there was a universal pandemic, which there never was. They were fear-mongered into believing the vaccine would protect them. And actually, there's so much information out there that the vaccine doesn't protect you from anything. And in fact, it's injecting a spike 1 protein into the body. It's setting up your cells to make these spike 1 proteins, which will now turn against you. It's got the luciferase enzyme. It's got the GRAFAD. Holy cow, there's just so much against all this. And yet people are still lining up to get the non-vaccine. They were so good at it that people negated and separated themselves from those who were wise enough to get a job. I want to give you a quick example, just go sideways here. I mean, it just frustrates me. Husbands and wives, families, children, parents, people are being separated into who got jabbed and who didn't get jabbed. Whenever I am out in the public and for whatever reason, if I am asked if I've been jabbed, I turn the question around to the person asking. And with a lot of anxiety, I ask them, oh, shoot, have you been jabbed? Then please stay away. I don't want to be contaminated. It stops them from asking you, which they don't have a right to do. Nobody has a right to ask you if you've been jabbed or not. And you won't put the onus on them, guiding them. They've got all the problems within them now if they've been jabbed. You want to stay clear of those people. So it's a really good way to get off the defensive and onto the offense, asking them, oh, shoot, have you been jabbed? Please stay clear. I don't want to be contaminated. The whole thing was nonsense from beginning to end. And in fact, the whole script for the COVID journey, the 19 journey that we've been on, was actually written up in January 6th of 2004. Holy cow. And the script was called SARS and bioterrorism. And Fauci and Gates sat on the board. COVID vaccine was known to be a biological weapon in 2005. Do you really want to inject it into your body? Now, let's move on a little bit to the supposed Delta variant. There is no such thing. It is simply another means to coerce people into accepting something that they might not otherwise accept. Oh, goodness, the Delta virus. Oh, it's more dangerous. Oh, blah, blah, blah. No, sorry, it doesn't exist. Holy cow. It is an estimated computer simulation. Now, I like what Dr. Martin says about it. Quote, no ability to identify any clinically altered gene sequence which then has a clinically expressed variation. Let me read that again. There is no ability to identify any clinically altered gene sequence which then has a clinically expressed variation. This has been the case since the beginning of the journey. There is, quote, again, another quote, not a single paper published that has actually established that anything novel since November of 2019 has clinical distinction from anything that predates November 2019. This is the problem with the 73 patents that all contain
what was reported to be novel. If it's novel, how can we have it in 70? Holy cow.
So I could go on and on. My attitude was, after I finished writing this, that's enough for today. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on around the world with, you know, scientists, with lawyers, with whatever. But that was the end for today. I thought, okay, I've had enough. And what I'm ending with is, my mother loved the saying, God gave you a brain, try using it. As a child, I hated that. I've already tried to figure it out. I can't figure it out. That's why I'm asking you. That was her response. If she thought I should figure it out, then God gave you a brain, try using it. So as much as I grew up hating that response, in today's world, it is so applicable. And I do it with kindness. I do it with support and encouragement. God gave you a brain. Try using it. Do your research. Come up with the answers yourself, because the answers are all there. It's available. I've given you starting places with all the references that I do give you every week. Those are good starting places. But do your own research and come to your own conclusions. Figure out what resonates well with you. The evidence is there. This was a planned process done for a variety of different agendas. Okay? I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everybody every week, every time we talk about this. This information can be scary. In fact, it's horrific. It's crimes against humanity. But rather than getting emotionally caught up in it, stay on a cognitive level with it. Understand it. Be aware of it. But use your emotions. Use your prayers, your intentions. Use your guided imagery. Use your meditations. Use whatever you have to put out there what you want to come out of all this chaos. Remember, we've said so many times, there's seven different theories of chaos. The underlying theory is something, whether it's a cell, an organism, a tissue, an organ, a body, a community, a country, a world, a universe. It has to go into chaos in order to come out at a higher level. And we want to come out at a higher level. We want to come out where we're vibrationally higher, energetically higher, spiritually higher, morally, ethically higher, more aware, more understanding, more forgiving, more patient. We want to become our greater potential. So let's put our emotional energy into that. On a cognitive level, we have a, in my sense, my mind, we have a responsibility to become aware. But on an emotional level, on a spiritual or whatever other level you want to look at, we have a responsibility to put the effort, put the energy into creating what we want to come out of all of this. That I leave with you. And with a few minutes left, we are going to go through some questions. Okay, now these were from a couple weeks ago. I didn't have a chance to get into them, so we are now finally getting to them. Wendy, in Ontario, my son has been sleeping a good 10 to 14 hours and is tired all day. Any idea what's going on and what can I do? Well, Wendy, there could be a number of different issues. Now, we know the if you've had the jab, that could be an issue. But we know that mitochondrial dysfunction can cause that. Your mitochondria produce all the fuel. We've said so many times, and, you know, basic cell has between 50 and 500 mitochondria. Heart cell, 10 cell, upwards of 10,000. Some say some have upwards of 25,000 mitochondria. That's a lot of mitochondria. And they produce the enzyme in the body. And 98% of them require that fuel, ATP, in order to function. So anything that builds up, breaks down, turns around, whatever, in a cell requires the enzymes, and the enzymes require the mitochondria to produce the fuel for them to operate. So number one, I'd be looking at, does he have mitochondrial dysfunction? What can cause mitochondrial dysfunction? Well, we know 5G can. So if you're anywhere near a tower, that could be a problem. We know toxins can, depleted glutathione can, the jab can. The number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction is well recognized to be pharmaceutical drugs. So those are a big issue. Now, in addition to that, he may have adrenal dysfunction. He may have gut dysfunction. He may have heavy metal toxicity. Any of those can cause the body to be
very depleted. Even something simple like magnesium. You need magnesium and 180 steps for the mitochondria to produce the fuel, ATP. 70% of the time that you need magnesium, you need vitamins B1, 2, and 3. It could be that he's anemic and low in B12 or low in iron. If he's low in B12 or iron, then I'd be looking at the stomach. Is he producing enough hydrochloric acid? Because if you don't produce enough hydrochloric acid, then you won't absorb B12 and iron. So there's a number of things. Hopefully I've given you a number of topics that you can go into and start looking at for your son, and all the very best to your son. All right, then we have Teresa in New York. I have had the worst brain fog for some time now, and I've noticed many others around me seem the same way, very tired, depressed, unmotivated. Is there something going around that's causing this? Well, again, we have got an overlap in the prior question to Wendy in Ontario with regard to her son, but let's go into a couple other things. Are you wearing a mask? The mask prevents you from absorbing enough oxygen. Every organ in your body needs oxygen. All your muscles need oxygen. Your brain uses up about 20% of your body's oxygen. In addition to which, the mask, rather than allowing you to eliminate the carbon dioxide, you breathe it back in again. That causes acidity in the blood, and that can cause fatigue. So we have a heavier pathogenic load on the lungs. That can cause fatigue. In addition to which, we know the mask, the PCR testing, as well as the jab, all have graphene oxide in it. That can cause fatigue. You could have health issues in the gut, the liver, the brain, the adrenals. All of those can cause fatigue and brain fog. For instance, your adrenal glands, which respond to stress and with all the fear-mongering and the anxiety, and then if you don't buy into the fear mongering, you get the finger pointed at you. So from a number, and then there's the financial stresses and the relationship stresses and all the rest of that. That can be a huge impact on your adrenals. Your adrenals produce two important neurotransmitters, epinephrine and norepinephrine. And so if you don't have those, then you get the familiar brain fog that's associated with adrenal dysfunction. So there's all kinds of things. Of course, the bacteria in your gut. Are you eating good, healthy food? Do you have a good microbiota in your gut? Do you have the fiber to support the microbiota in the gut? Eating a Granny Smith apple a day is phenomenal. Make sure they're organic. Wash them very well. Grow them in the garden if you can. We have some apples, and I'm not sure what they are, but, man, they are hard. They are tart, but they don't have a whole lot of flavor to them. They are tart, but very low-level tart, if you want. But we eat one a day. Okay, and they're early apples. I mean, apples you don't normally harvest till September, and we've already been eating these ones for several weeks now. Keep moving. It's essential to keep the body moving. It's designed to be moving. It keeps the muscles moving. It keeps the blood moving. It keeps your bowel movements. It helps all kinds of things in the body. So don't just sit and look at the computer all day. Get up, do stretching, do Pagliotti's. Pagliotti's, that's the name of a restaurant. I'm not saying it right. You know what I'm talking about, like yoga. Do stretching, do dancing, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, go for a hike. Get the body moving. You don't have to do extensive gym exercises. You just need to keep the body moving. Now, there's all kinds of other issues. Like, again, we were talking about before, what about the chemtrails? What about the 5G towers? There is a number of different factors that can cause this. So all you can do is be aware what the factors are, look out for them, and try to protect yourself either from them. Or in terms of depletion, make sure that your body's getting extra supplements. Now, when it comes to magnesium, that is huge. And that's huge for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's over 13 different types of magnesium, but only three are bioavailable. The three that are bioavailable are used for different issues in the body. So make sure you look them up. Make sure that you're getting what you need. And make sure you're getting a good, healthy brand. I don't like using any of the brands that will come out of a superstore or a Costco or Super Value or Save-On, or if it's a big store like that, the probability is that what they're carrying is cheap, it's garbage, it's better for the toilet than for you. go to somebody who knows the research and can give you some good brands, local brands, what have you, that are good for you, because there's all kinds of ways they can make cheap products. Looks good from the price tag perspective, but ultimately it's better than for the toilet than for you. Again, when it's glutathione, eat the foods that have glutathione. And the glutathione will break down into the three amino acids in the hydrochloric acid of your stomach, and your body needs to be able to rebuild them. Better than taking a GSH product and paying like $60, get an NAC, N-acetylcysteine is much better for you. On the other hand, we've given you a load of foods and herbs and what have you that you can take to help the body create the glutathione within every cell of your body. So make sure you're doing that. And if you're around people that have been jabbed, family members, work colleagues, et cetera, make sure that you're taking your pine extract. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I gave you a list of really good species that have the good pine tree needles that you're not toxic to. I think I also gave you a series of three or four that are actually toxic. You don't want those. You want the good stuff. Okay? So hopefully that gives you lots of information. Again, we're not going to do a whole article today on food. There's just not enough time. What I would strongly recommend just as a notation, if you want, with regard to your garden, make sure that in this really hot weather, you're watering the roots, the ground, not the leaves. The leaves need, and to water the leaves actually helps prevent a mildew forming on them, mildew powder. But they need to have the water on the leaves when it is cool, like in the middle of the night, not when it's 100 degrees out. When it's 100 degrees out, they desperately need the water, but they need it in the soil. So you don't burn your leaves. Make sure that you know what to water and when. Now, one plant that really, really, really doesn't like water on its leaves is tomato plants. My tomato plants have just gone absolutely crazy producing, which is wonderful. We're eating all kinds of cucumber and tomato sandwiches and Greek salad. We're going to be canning a lot of tomatoes this year. But make sure that the leaves are protected. On the other hand, everything else, the leaves typically want to be watered when it's cool, not when it's hot. Just like grass. You don't water grass in the middle of the afternoon. It burns the blades. Well, in the same way, you don't want to burn the leaves. So water them before you go to bed and fast. Okay? Again, eat your foods, cucumbers and squashes and so many foods, your broccoli, your cauliflower, your herbs, your chives, your oregano, parsley, rosemary, thyme. They're all so good for helping the immune system in the body. Make sure you're eating those good fresh vegetables. If you can't grow them at home, then make sure you're getting organic. You don't want all the toxicity. Okay? So hopefully on that note, you've got lots of good information to play around with. Hopefully you'll do some research and listen to the videos that I've given you, referenced for you. And I hope you have a fantastic week creating, manifesting the new world that we want with a much higher awareness, understanding, supportive of humanity, and not a detrimental one. We will leave the detrimental world to those who create it. The rest of us want to move on to a higher place, a higher understanding, maybe even to another dimension. If we were talking with Tom here, he'd be saying, yeah, when are we going to go through ascension? He was really, really big into ascension. Actually, he's actually the one who introduced me to ascension. I hadn't heard of it before, Tom. So there you go. That's this week. If you need information, go to my front page, which is the only thing we have right now for my website, choicesunlimited.ca. It will give you all the contact information that you need. Or go to drhollybooks.com. That will give you the book. Okay? Make it a good week. Talk to you next week. Take good care. Bye-bye now.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.